The Well of Horniness, Part 2, Victim Victoria. The setting, a peaceful New England town. A town like many others where murder and depravity offer welcome respite from the tedious convenience of one-stop shopping. Just a town. A town like many others, with a gorgeous gendarme who loves girls almost as much as she loves murder.
Gannett McClit, Lady Dick.
It was another spit-colored Manhattan morning. Al Dente found the usual cornucopia of crimes cluttered his desk at the New York precinct. The police chief was a cop's cop, tough and stringy as a pot roast with a face to match.
Yeah.
Gotta make on that DOA, chief.
Okay, send in Garnet McClit. Looks like this is her baby.
Enter Garnet McClit, Lady Dick, an inspired Irish rookie from the concrete backwaters of the Garden State. Being an Irish tomboy left her with two options, the convent or the beat. She went with the latter with no regrets. Once in a while, though, she dreamed of heading someplace more romantic, like Milwaukee, where being a cop and being Irish still meant something.
What's the scoop, Chief?
You're lucky, Dame McClit. You play it smart and this'll get you out of parking violations and into the big leagues. You know that new Amazon watering hole?
The Vixen's Den?
Yeah, well, the boys just paid it a little visit.
Snazzy joint. Food any good?
They couldn't stick around to find out, so they just got something to go. A stiff. Here, read all about it. Didn't take long for those nutty dames to start making pesto of each other.
Ooh, Georgette, that's bad.
Big wheel, huh? Well, she stopped turning.
There's gonna be trouble, Chief. Those tribads got a short fuse. When the New York pest gets a hold of this...
Forget the pest. When our boys get through rounding up their head hunches, those bra burners won't be able to get together a softball game, let alone a rumble. You got a line on the suspect.
Vicky? Yeah, I know her. Who doesn't? Heard she defected a few years back. Word was, she turned a real Breck girl. Got a job, boyfriend, the works.
She gave the maid a deed to slip. We'll bag her soon enough, though. She can't go too far, too fast in those heels. Tell me, how do those tribads feel towards a girl when she's had a change of heart?
I've been sniffing around this scene for a long time. I've seen a lot of these broads make a beeline for the straight and narrow. But I'm telling you, not one of them has made it to the altar yet.
So they take it kind of personal when one of the flock goes AWOL.
Let's just say the tribads are not exactly pro-family.
Are these dames ditzy enough to frame Vicky?
No way, Chief. Vicky's a lot of things, but she's just not suitable for framing.
Any way you slice it, it's our chance to bust up this daisy chain for keeps.
Maybe so. Still, these muff divers have been spoiling for a rumble, and now they've got an excuse. There's gonna be one hell of a crackdown.
You mean...
What I'm saying is this. Until you get that word processor on ice, there's not a bisexual between here and Scranton that'll be safe.
Vicky ran and ran, without direction, though not without purpose. But why did she run if she were indeed innocent? Perhaps in her heart of hearts, there was something she longed for more fervently than justice or even her own freedom. A sequel, perhaps. As the Zen masters have said, what is the sound of one hand clapping? Or as the TV moguls restated, what is the use of one great pilot without a 13-week run? And so Vicky ran until the wilderness lay all around her. Vicky knew she was lost, alone with the elements.
Oxygen, helium, hydrogen, and whiskey sours. These elements form the building blocks of life, as we know.
Or was she alone? Her soul called out to the heavens, but as usual, got a busy signal. Overhead, three bald scavengers circled with the deadly precision of a lazy Susan laden with tainted hors d'oeuvres.
Who's there? Yoo-hoo! Here I am!
Somewhere in the uncharted recesses of her mind, Vicky knew she was the heroine and could not be killed off. Not with the series in the offering. Perhaps her old college chum, the writer, might construct a few close calls. She might have to run down a few blind alleys, an orthopedically hazardous footgear, bullets of myopic snipers snagging her nylons. Or perhaps it would be a gothic affair. She might be compelled to run across the moors in a flimsy peignoir, nipples bang at the North Star. But this much was certain. She would be rescued.
no, 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 God, no! You're not William Shatner!
William Shatner? Is he in this? Is he in this? For Garnet McClitt, seasoned sapphic flatfoot, Al Dente's theories were as meaningless as pork fried rice, without the dark sauce. Who pulled the trigger and why? Vicky's guilt was another stale assumption she wouldn't buy and couldn't swallow. Pass the mayo, please. No, to Garnett, the field was wide open, so that left just everybody. Only problem was, everybody seemed to have an alibi as airtight as a Tupperware cake saver. Only person Garnett hadn't checked out was Babs, the hat check girl. Sure, she knew Georgetta had a fling with her. So what? Tribads were known to change partners more times than masons in a three-legged relay. Would Georgette have jeopardized a promising career in dental hygiene for a few moments of empty ecstasy with a hat-check girl? A woman whose phony accent fooled no one about her bridge and tunnel origins? Garnett didn't think so. Still, what about their affair? Just a Sunday drive? Or a joyride through the well of horniness? Georgette was 6 feet under. Her side of the story died with her. But if she could have talked, what would she say?
Just in case you really want to know, Babs is the best-looking thing I ever saw. I got steamed up just watching her cross the street. Whatever a broad's supposed to have on the ball, she's got it. My tongue felt a foot thick when we talked, and if she'd asked me to jump, I'd have said, "How high?" So why'd I jump her? I tell you this, and you can tuck it away if it means anything to you. I don't like her, and I don't know why.
I wish I'd gotten the specs on that hat-check hussy. I wouldn't know her if she got in bed with me.
When that deal on the linoleum mine comes through, I'll have the entire home decorating industry painted into a corner.
Don't get me wrong, Rob, my boy. Idealism is great, especially in an election year. But you gotta remember, you're talking about South America. You're talking about a lot of Catholics.
What are you driving at, my man?
I'm talking about Catholics. Whole different ballgame.
Is it as bad as all that? I mean, they're still human.
Human, yes, but they're afraid of patent leather. They do it in the middle of the day and eat macaroni and cheese after. They think God is made out of plastic and glows in the dark. Human? I wonder.
I know what you're trying to do, Al, but I got a dream. Something to keep me going. I'm not going to give it up. It's all I got. Now, I still think we got the right to a few things. To a roof over our head. To a nice piece of shag under your feet.
Don't go too far, my boy. It's not just the Catholic thing. Some of these people aren't even white. You put that in your pipe and smoke it. Shag, Rod, you're gonna give them shag? People live in paper sacks and eat what the dog wouldn't touch. Why? Because they're lazy. Too damn lazy to go shopping. Frankly, I just don't see how giving away throat rings to Salvador is gonna change all that.
Well, it won't. At least, not overnight.
Take a tip from me. All that linoleum ain't gonna keep you warm at night.
What you got for me?
I got a very classy dame for you. Very low mileage, and she don't take tips.
Can that fish, Al. I'm through with the lousy broads you dig up. The last one was so skinny I could have sliced semolina on her hip bones.
Garnet McClitt took a long drag on her cigarette and leaned against the tenement doorway. She studied the glowing butt and flicked it into the gutter. It was 11:30 p.m. on the Lower East Side. Most of the natives were just getting up. Then Garnett saw her. Something strangely exotic about the eyes, the way they seemed to float in her face like two wontons in a hot and sour soup. Her full figure stood out in sharp contrast to the clusters of anorexic clubgoers beginning to fill the street. Someone or something in Garnett's brain sent a wake-up call to her crotch.
What are you doing out at this hour, hun? Pretty girl like you ought to be home watching the funny car races.
It's curtains for me and my gal. Like, she just didn't meet my needs. Besides,
She was just a runt.
You like big girls, huh?
In the harsh light of the ghetto street lamp, the woman's eyes glittered like a tape measure. Garnet seemed to make the grade.
That's right. Real big. Like you.
Too bad I'm a career girl.
Oh, I really go for girls with Blue Cross. You don't work around the clock now, do you, Ms. Officer?
I go home, alone, to sleep.
Oh, that's too bad. Guess I gotta go sit on that tar beach all by my lonesome.
What tar beach is that?
Just down the street. Sometimes I get real lonesome up there, just me and my Walkman.
Watching her turn and walk away made the insides of Garnet's thighs feel like butter left out on a hot stove. But she was too much of a cop to cave into simple lust.
Just a fleshy little trespasser. Oh, excuse me, that's fleshy little trespasser.
Garnet thought as she followed her into the building.
Ooh. Picking up a bargain like this puts a girl in a mood for a real shopping spree. Something in the home improvement line. I got a feeling a certain carpet salesman might feel like doing some private price slashing.
Can she be stopped? Can a clerical worker who's tasted blood ever hope to break into middle management? Can anyone be satisfied once they've dipped into the well of horniness? Even as Bab weaves her wicked web, our hero is engaging in some innocent male bonding in another part of town.
Hey, buddy, do you see a waitress?
I see this woman in white, but I don't think she's a waitress.
Why not?
Because she looks like we're sick. What do you think about that?
I think we are sick, and she's the cure. Hey, nurse, me and my buddy are dying of hunger. Miss, is this decaf?
But you said coffee.
But I meant Sanka brand coffee.
Why didn't you tell me you didn't want real coffee?
Well now, miss, Sanka brand is real coffee. Isn't that right, Al?
Sure is, Rob. How's about joining us for a cup, miss? You're still thinking about it, aren't you? I'm going to say something, and I don't think you're going to be able to hear. But Vicky was a cheap little poodle of a woman. She flunked out of community college and probably killed your sister.
Lies! I will not hear it. Vicky went away to school.
Yeah, away to the Hoboken Bilingual Key Punch School. Hardly the Seven Sisters, now is it?
But I still love her.
Rod, my friend, someday you're going to find out you got off easy. The woman had no death. Taking the plunge with her would have been like high diving off the shallow end.
Rod felt he could forgive Vicky everything, even her fried chicken, if only he could have her back. Suddenly, he felt protective towards her, the way sautéed onions must feel towards calf's liver. Even as Rod finds himself knee-deep in thought, our finely wrought fiction is unraveling in another area. To the north lay the majestic Kennetonics. To the work-weary masses, these are the promised lands, where God's chosen people have chosen to spend 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness on the American plan. But the granite cleavage did not contain happy memories for Rod. For it was there that during a family vacation that his other sister, Dinette, was snatched from their campsite by ravenous raccoons. The family was left stunned and bitter. No more Sierra Club calendars for them. Even with the family in the carpet trade, it was the kind of scandal you couldn't sweep under the rug.
The father found that little tack. What was left of her, anyway?
Born with a silver spoon in her mouth.
That's probably why they killed her.
There was no way they could know their daughter lived, nor that the carcass found outside the Winnebago was not Dinette, but, in fact, a London broil. Dinette remembered none of this. Not her brother Rod, twin Georgette, nor the split-level Mediterranean mansion. Suckled by her ring-tailed abductors, she became like them, forced to hunt and prowl by night like the hideous half-human apparitions that haunt late-night TV. Roots, berries, and an occasional Eskimo pie, on these she thrived. The forest provided her with all she needed. That is, except for the one thing she craved the most. Entrance to the well of horniness. But now she had Vicky. She had hit rock bottom. Happy at last. It was a muggy summer night in the mountains. The clouds rested like soggy cotton balls upon the brow of the mountain. It was a night made just for lovers. Somewhere, a loon cried.
Hey, Madge, what'd you do with the keys to the Buick?
From their seclusion in the Christmas tree farm, the wild lovers watched the last rounds of sudden death golf tournament. How could they know the danger that surrounded them?
Four.
Oh my God, she's been hit! And from what I can see, quite badly. Her eyeliner's running down the street!
There she is. Back that she-devil. Don't let that vomit escape. Somebody call an ambulance.
Yes, yes, of course. Is there a doctor in the house?
Here I am!
You're too young to be a doctor.
I'm a resident. I can do anything a real doctor can do except play mixed doubles. Bring her to my office!
And so an ambulance bears Vicky away. At the hospital, a dedicated team of professionals try to work Vicky in.
No appointment? Well, dear. Ah, you're in luck. A cancellation.
We're here to help you, but you must try to help yourself. Any small detail you can recall is important. Concentrate! How did you get from the nightclub to the mountains?
I don't remember.
What did you do there?
I don't remember.
Who were you with?
I don't know.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm quite sure. I just had a terrible shock, you know.
Yes, kidnapping and loss of memory are terrible indeed, but nothing compared to the shock you'll get when you pay the bill. Now, dear, I just want you to relax and forget this nasty amnesia. That's right, relax and try to breathe normally. Nurse, will you fix a cup of coffee to calm down the patient?
Certainly, Doctor. All right, honey, how do you like it?
I don't remember. Oh, Doctor, it's terrible.
Vicky, what is it?
All I can remember is that I left my clothes at the laundry and lost the ticket. Now I don't remember what the bag looked like. Gone, all gone. My favorite socks, everything I ever loved. Gone.
Just relax and watch this crystal. You have box seats in a ping pong tournament. Your eyes never leave the ball. You're getting sleepy. Sleepy. Sleepy.
Doctor, wake up.
Ah, Vicky, what do you remember?
It's no good. My mind's a blank.
Yes, we know that. I'm confident I can restore the patient's true identity.
You can, but why?
Prepare 28cc of phenobarbital.
Phenobarbital? Pheno as an antibiotic?
Right.
And barbo as a sedative?
Right.
And thanks?
And thanks for the memories!
Can the doctor restore Vicky's true identity? Can anyone save Vicky from the vegetable patch? Can... Wait a minute. Haven't I seen that nurse before? That's no nurse! That's her! Oh my God, it's the proverbial hat-check girl in white-collar clothing. Tune in next week for the startling conclusion of the well of horniness.